Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we head to the town that prides itself as the birthplace of Montana. Established in 1849, Fort Benton, located along the Upper Missouri River, is the oldest continuously occupied settlement in the Treasure State. Here we meet Nicole Fugger, owner of the Missouri River Outfitters, who will take us out on the river in a canoe for a short float to find asparagus and savor a meal as the river flows by. Later, we spend the night at the Grand Union Hotel, a national landmark and the oldest operating hotel in Montana, where we will meet owner Colette Tahista Longan and executive chef Keith Chin. Since 1985, Missouri River Outfitters have shared their love and fondness for the river's natural splendor, vast legends, and oral history, especially from the Lewis and Clark explorations. Nicole Fugger and her mother Denise purchased Missouri River Outfitters 9 years ago. These days, guests experience the river in luxury, staying in tents that allow for standing upright and slumbering on cots and not on the ground. All one has to do is paddle. Everything is done by the team, the loading of the boats, the setting up of tents, and the cooking. There is no rehydrated food, as Nicole serves fresh, flavorful meals made from locally sourced ingredients. But before we learn of alfresco feasting on local beef or pickled hand-picked asparagus, we discover Missouri River Outfitters' beginnings.
So it started with a group of educators here in Fort Benton, and they saw the value and the need to record some of the history on the river. And so they started doing guided trips back in the day. It was quite the motley crew. I think their first trip, they utilized life rafts, and they learned the valuable lesson of the river receding and the need to move those rafts deeper and deeper in the water. And they got quite stuck after that first trip.
And from the life rafts, the group went to use barrel boats.
You know, you take those big drums that are full of oil and things like that, those industrial barrels, and then you put planks of wood on top of them. I even have a picture of them skinning a goose on one of those boats. So it was a motley crew, to say the least. They had a rule where the men on the trip, because it was boys only for a while, that the men had to bring a certain amount of alcohol to join the group.
The group then made the decision to change their ways, to become more serious about their trips.
And the first trip that they did, I believe, was for the New York Times. They had a customer come, and they just thought it was such a hoot to experience the Wild West and the characters of this area.
From there, the company went through several ownerships.
It then went into, eventually, Larry and Bonnie Cook purchased the company after a gentleman named Bob Singer was running it. Bob Singer actually built these big watercrafts in the shop that we have here. And a couple years back, his son was reminiscing in the shop and talked about what it was like when his dad was building these big boats. But they were these huge barges, and they'd fit up to 30 people on them, with their big rolly bags and everything just coming on this river trip. And they'd pull over and they'd put these wood planks off the boat that you could walk off the boat with.
And the boats held the names of Mandan and Chippewa.
One was the ladies' boat and the other one was the men's boat. The crew would all sleep on these boats. When it got the monument status and protection, it got a little bit stricter with motorized crafts and you had to have a pilot's license to operate these big boats. So Bonnie and Larry Cook operated the boats. They both had their pilot's license.
But after Mike and Meredith Gregston bought the company, they made a decision to stop running the barges, not wanting to handle all the logistics. At the time, they wanted to grow the canoe business they were running in Lewistown.
Adventure Bound Canoe was a rental company, and so they did boat delivery is what Mike would call it. And they would make sure to deliver your boat, everything you need for a trip for a do-it-yourself outfit. They started in Lewistown and then eventually moved to Fort Benton. They at one point had a storefront downtown. They also would sell bison burgers and ice cream at Judith Landing.
Those who took on owning and running Missouri River Outfitters were creative entrepreneurs, including Nicole and her mother, who bought the company in 2017.
I took it over when I was 27 years old, and it went from running it out of my house, where I had an industrial kitchen in my garage. I believe all my guides lived with me when I bought the company, to now we have a storefront, we have resting quarters for our staff. We were running about one trip a week. We're to about, our average is about 2 to 3 trips a week. So I would say that we probably tripled in size from what it was when I bought it.
Nicole has grown her business over the years, but it was the river that grew her.
I would say that the river raised me is an easy way to put it. Starting on this river at 19, I got to know this passion, this area that I never knew before.
Nicole may have found her passion, but along the way also discovered patience, flexibility, and resiliency.
When I first started, ironically, I was just looking for a job somewhere in the state, doing something outdoors, and I started calling around to all these outfitters. And I happened to call Mike Gregston, the previous owner. And after talking to him for maybe 4 minutes, he said, "Great, can you be here next week?" So I showed up, and I remember at the time there were already 2 trips on the river, and I was kind of being rushed downriver to these trips to join it because they really needed another guide. And that was Mike's last trip down the river and my first trip. So he motored me downriver to the crew, and I remember the guides were arguing who had to have the new guide that no one knew anything about. And when Mike was questioned about his decision, he simply said, "She sounded healthy on the phone."
Sounding healthy on the phone led her to now own Missouri River Outfitters, where she provides trips that are comfortable and approachable for most anyone, to cooking up homemade food from local sources. So where did her love of cooking come from?
I've always had a knack for preparing food, and it started when I was really young. My mom used to always say, "You should be a chef." And I used to take insult by it because I wanted to go to college, of course, and you know, I just didn't think it was the same thing. But looking back, I think I would have loved being a chef.
She is being a chef these days, along with taking on the role of a guide, hostess, driver, activities coordinator, and so much more. In outfitting trips that can be 5 days long, Nicole has to be strategic in preparing and packing up food. Coolers are found in each boat, along with all the gear for camping.
For all these meals, I really do start with the protein, making sure that each day has a different type of protein, may that be fish, beef, pork, you name it. And then I also try to focus on local. So a lot of my meat comes from bear paw meats, and then I try to focus on local fish, walleye, that kind of stuff.
Luckily for Nicole, she is located in a very fertile region of north central Montana.
Here in Fort Benton, we are a part of the Golden Triangle. What that is it's big wheat production. It goes all the way up through Canada. And along with wheat, we have a lot of access to garbanzo beans, to lentils, to hemp hearts, to split peas, things like that. So I really like to incorporate those in my menu as well. There is a group called Timeless Seed, and that's who I get a lot of my grains from. Along with that, we do have quite a few Hutterite colonies that I utilize for eggs and other fresh produce, depending on the season and what's in. Lastly, we do forage for some of our food, which I find really fun. In this area, we have chokecherries. We also have asparagus. And then when we're out there, if things are in bloom, such as milkweed and or yucca, it's fun picking those off and having people try them and understand the edible parts of them and things like that. So we do have chokecherry syrup, pickled asparagus, pickled milkweed.
So what are some of the key factors Nicole must consider to make sure she has not only enough food, but good food to serve her guests?
Preparation for river trips is all about portioning. Whenever we get food in, may it be fresh or frozen, you got to think what food can go in these coolers frozen, such as homemade soup we can make ahead of time, freeze it, and then out there they can just warm it up, where we also will incorporate fresh salad, what type of lettuce keeps versus others. So we will have like a kale salad towards the end of the trip because it keeps longer. I also found arugula does a lot better, so I'll incorporate that in like a farro salad, where your spinach needs to be eaten day one. It just doesn't last as long. So it's just kind of knowing your produce and how it works out on the river.
And for most diners, the crowning part of the meal is the end, dessert, and Nicole does not disappoint.
So we will prepare our desserts ahead of time, so our cookies for all the lunches and our cakes. But for the rest of it, we basically prepare everything 2 days before the trip.
Several years ago, I took a trip downriver with Missouri River Outfitters with a group of friends. The chef for our trip was Lynette Kozovich, while her husband Keith Edgerton was the Lewis and Clark storyteller and knight. The two are guest guides for the company when they are not working their jobs in Billings. Both, along with two other guides, help with setting up camp, guiding us downriver, and keeping the vacation spirit going. We always had ample, flavorful, fresh food. Although breakfast and lunch were delicious with a salad bar the very first day, the dinners rivaled food we would find in a brick-and-mortar establishment.
So with rotating in the meats, the first night we'd probably do walleye with a split pea salad. In that we incorporate fresh produce such as a corn medley split pea. And then you can't forget your sauce. So with the walleye, we usually have a lemon butter sauce. And then we have a spinach salad with fresh ingredients attached to that as well. And then we usually do a hors d'oeuvre ahead of time. That would say be a goat cheese with a mango chutney. For dinner number two would be steak, because you gotta try the flavors of the area. We would do a fresh farro salad with arugula in it and some other fresh ingredients. And along with that would be like another green salad with hors d'oeuvres. We do stuffed bell peppers with like a fresh vegetable cream cheese stuffing in those. And then dessert, homemade rum cake.
It is unexpected to dine on walleye and steak while camping, but Nicole makes it possible. Then on the third night, there is another surprise.
Pork tenderloins wrapped in bacon with a homemade chokecherry glaze. Incorporated with that would be a barley mango salad and another fresh salad, because that's important. The hors d'oeuvre would have probably been a bruschetta, nice and fresh, with fresh baguette. And for dessert, we would probably do a little bit on the heavier side because it was steak, so probably chocolate cake.
Then the other most important meal is breakfast, as guests need the strength to paddle downriver.
One of my favorite is corned beef and hash, because I love corned beef and hash. We also do breakfast sandwiches, think fresh McMuffin. And then we'll do on the lighter fare, we'll do lox and bagels.
The Lewis and Clark expedition used the Missouri River as their primary highway to traverse the Louisiana Territory, navigating 2,300 miles. In April of 1805, they left the Mandan villages in current North Dakota to travel through the White Cliffs and Missouri Breaks before facing the Great Falls. Missouri River Outfitters offer one-day excursions from Carter to Fort Benton, a 15-mile paddle, or Fort Benton to Woodbottom, a 20-mile push. Two-day trips are available for the White Cliffs, the sandstone bluffs that rise above the river. But to better understand and appreciate the area, a 3 to 4 day trip allows time to explore both land and river and to accommodate Mother Nature's moods. A 5 day trip takes paddlers to the Badlands, a more primitive area with a wilder landscape. Today, Nicole takes me and my husband on the Missouri River, launching from private property about 5 miles above Fort Benton. We stop about a mile downstream. The grass is lush and above ankle length tall. Large cottonwoods stand as sentries about 20 feet from the shore. Nicole pulls the boat to the rocky shore to enthusiastically walk into the grass field. She is on the hunt for fresh, wild asparagus.
So when looking for asparagus, you look for last year's growth that's dried up, and usually that's your indication of where it's located, and it's a lot easier to find it that way.
Nicole is referring to dried, tall, feathery, fern-like foliage. She believes someone else has already come out to harvest much of the bounty. But she finally does find several for us to try. There is nothing like fresh-picked asparagus, for it is sweet with vibrant vegetable flavors and no bitterness.
Foraging is kind of like a grown-up Easter egg hunt. You just don't want to stop.
And Nicole doesn't stop as her eyes scour the area around us. After about 15 minutes, she reluctantly gives up, as it is time to set up our lunch. She unpacks the cooler she has brought onto shore and sets up chairs for us to sit on. On a folding table, she opens up about 20 containers of goodies.
But today I just figured we could pick away at things. Just kind of our take of a charcuterie board and what's fresh and in right now. But we've got some asparagus that we harvested, some crackers to go with everything. We've got some beef salami, some elk jerky, and then we've got some goat cheese with homemade apple chutney. My mom made the apple chutney. The apples are from my tree, and my mom always has a goal to harvest everything. You can't leave an apple on the ground. And then we also have brie with our chokecherry syrup and some other cheeses. We've got a spicy habanero cheese and some fruits and veggies to go with it.
After some exercise, fresh air, and good food, we spend the night at the Grand Union Hotel. This hotel was once known as the Waldorf of the West, constructed in 1882 when Fort Benton was the world's most inland port. This three-story Victorian Renaissance brick building still welcomes guests with its high ceiling, walnut wood paneling, and a grand staircase. This grand dame was passed on in 2022 from Jim and Cheryl Gagnon, who had owned the hotel for 27 years, to Tony and Colette Longin.
Well, we certainly were not looking to buy a hotel restaurant. It was not on our radar. However, we'd had our family business for 20-odd years that we'd purchased from my parents. We knew that our time was kind of coming to an end with that. Retail just kind of dying. COVID kind of put a stick in it, and we knew we had a few years left in it.
The couple was not ready for complete retirement and wanted to find something that was still entrepreneurial in spirit. In the fall of 2020, a friend planted the seed for their next venture.
And she said, oh, I have what you need to do. The Grand Union just came for sale and you need to buy it. And I just was like, huh, you're crazy. I'm not buying a hotel restaurant.
Then later that year, around Christmas time, their sister-in-law also encouraged them to buy the Grand Union Hotel.
I told her the story of what had transpired from this friend, and she said, oh, I agree. You guys should totally buy the Grand Union. And she was a new agent. She really wanted to show it, and she just started kind of bugging us about it. And so we finally acquiesced. So now we're in spring of 2021, and we came to look at it. Now, I'll say the Grand Union was a place we'd been before, special, but we'd never really been anywhere in the rooms or above or looked at it with a buyer's eye. We'd only had dinner here, and we just kind of assumed it needed a big facelift. And so, you know, we just also were not interested in a hotel restaurant. However, she just kind of kept pestering us. And so we call her the patron saint of the Grand Union.
Finally, in the spring of 2021, Colette and Tony visited the hotel.
Cheryl, the previous owner, this was her baby. She did the whole thing. I mean, she designed it. She, as all the beauty you see is Cheryl. And she took us on a 3-hour tour that day. She showed us the roof to the boilers, to the basement, every single room. One thing I do love, she said when she showed us the massive boiler system, she said, well, you guys don't seem very scared seeing this. And we said, well, we've done a lot of old buildings. So we understand looking at old things and not being scared of what it might entail.
The 3-hour tour did not scare them, but instead piqued their interest.
We got out to the car after that to drive back to Great Falls, and we were both silent for a minute, and then we looked at each other and said, wow, this is turnkey. There's a business here, and wow, okay. Because we really expected to see that those rooms needed a major facelift and everything might be dated, and it's not. It's classic and beautiful. And so we embarked on about a 3-month journey of maybe this is it. Maybe we really want to do this. And looked at the financials, met with Cheryl and her husband, Jim, several times. We were really serious. And ultimately, we got to that summer, and it was just not falling into place. You know, we still had kiddos at home. We still had our Airbnb rentals in Great Falls. We had our business still to shut down. And so we backed out. It was the 4th of July, 2021. I remember it specifically.
And right after they backed out, the next day, it went under contract for other interested buyers.
Now we're heading into the holidays. We decided to close down our business coming up the next spring. Just all these things that kind of were impediments before were changing. And so we went through the winter and oftentimes would say, well, too bad the Grand Union's not on the market anymore because now we're ready for it. But I ran into Cheryl, the previous owner, the end of March at the Western Art Show in Great Falls. And she was just beaming. She was so excited. They were getting ready to close in 10 days. And I said, well, if something happens to happen, keep Tony and I in mind because we're ready now. And she basically said, oh, well, you missed out. You missed the boat.
For Colette, she remained on that boat, thinking about missing the opportunity to buy the hotel.
So I came home and I obsessed about the hotel for about a week. I went back and looked at my Pinterest boards and I just couldn't stop thinking about this other couple's going to have it and we're not. And I don't know, I guess I just thought it was going to come back to us in some way.
Over the next weeks, she kept manifesting the possibility of owning the hotel.
And it was a Saturday morning and the next week, and I woke up and I was cleaning the house and I just decided, okay, Colette, you got to be done with this. And so I just said to the universe and my dad specifically, who'd passed away a few years before, and he's been my guardian angel. And I just said, well, Dad, if you've got some magic strings to pull about the Grand Union, do it. But otherwise, I am done thinking about this hotel.
Her father perhaps heard her once and pulled some strings.
I went about my day later that afternoon. I'd gone out to run some errands and I came in and my husband said, honey, come here. And I walked in the living room and he said, hey, I just got off the phone with my sister and the Grand Union just fell through. And I said, are you kidding me? And got teary. And he said, what's going on? And I told him the story I just told you because I had not shared that with him. And he said, well, what are we supposed to do? And I said, well, I think we're supposed to buy a hotel. And so we met with our accountant the next day and it was done 24 hours later. And because we'd been doing our due diligence, Cheryl and Jim immediately accepted our offer and we embarked on this craziness of buying a hotel restaurant.
So now the Longins own the 26-room Grand Union Hotel and the Union Grill Restaurant, and they have not looked back.
Every time we think, or those that first year when we thought we were a little crazy maybe for buying a hotel restaurant and maybe questioned like, what are we doing? We just had a clear sign that we were supposed to purchase the hotel. It was clear as day. So that's always a comfort. We know we're meant to be here doing what we're doing.
Summers are popular in Fort Benton, and the Grand Union Hotel welcomes visitors from near and far. But when the weather turns and winter arrives, tourism declines. Colette is currently working on ways to bring people to the hotel and town.
One of the things we thought about was expanding our banquet operation. We do get a good number of corporate retreats, companies coming here, having their meetings.
Colette also found that the Grand Union Hotel lacked spaces for people to hang out and was not set up ideally to host guests in the winter.
You know, people come here in the winter, our rooms are cozy, and we don't have anywhere for people to just lounge, work on their laptop, or read a book, or sit by a fireplace with a glass of wine and some friends. So that was our first thought, was we got to find that space so we can expand for people to come here in the winter and be here. My daughter, she has a media design company in Bozeman, and she said, Mom, I would come here and work remote for 5 days if I knew I had somewhere to hang out and work. You know, there's great coffee shops, there's great food here, but I need a space to kind of just be.
We are currently sitting in the living room of the hotel, a warm, welcoming space with windows looking onto the street. But it is often set up as a conference room, so cannot be casually used by guests.
So we purchased the building across the street, and that's the old Bank Club bar, and we brought the full liquor license from there over to this property. We were previously just wine and beer. So now we're super excited. We're in year four. We spent the past year remodeling the Bank Club. That is where our new meeting space will be. And then this room is next, and it's happening in the next month.
Bringing in business throughout the year means consistent employment for workers.
We have really tried and true great employees who stick through the year with us, and the winter months can get a little lean for them. We want to be able to also provide really good jobs throughout the entire year.
With the Grand Union Hotel carrying so much history and nostalgia, the holidays may be the best time when that spirit shines.
When I embarked on the holidays here, I wanted to have an atmosphere of just warmth and beauty and in people wanting to come be here and celebrate the holidays.
And the celebration begins upon entering the hotel.
When you walk in the front door, we have a beautiful 15-foot tree. It's a tall ceiling, so you have to have a tall tree. And it's beautiful. Everybody comments on it and family pictures in front of it. And it's really pretty cool. Wags of greenery everywhere with white lights and candles and warm. And we do a theme every year. So then we just layer in that theme on top of all those things that are here all the time.
And all the time, what is it that Colette wishes a guest goes away with from their experience at the Grand Union Hotel?
What I hope they take and understand is that now they're part of this history. They stayed here. They're part of the ongoing legend of this beautiful hotel. And I hope that they really feel like they were welcomed and taken care of and that they had a beautiful experience.
We now talk to Executive Chef Keith Chin, who joined the hotel last year in October. He heads up the Union Grill restaurant and oversees all the catering.
I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, kind of cut my chops there. I worked at some restaurants, worked my way up, decided to do pastries, and I did a pastry apprenticeship at the Scottsdale Princess Resort for 3 years. Then I went to culinary school at the CIA in Hyde Park, New York. I did pastries. I worked at some Relais and Chateau properties from there. I worked at one in Massachusetts, one in the Napa Valley, and then one in Charleston. And I kind of found my way back into cooking and traveled the country just to kind of learn different cuisines, different regions, different techniques. And I kind of found my way coming back out west to be closer to family.
Closer to family, but still far from many things and people. So why the town of Fort Benton, a town of 1,500 residents?
Fort Benton is a very quiet, peaceful town. And I've worked for some small inns, kind of historic inns before. So I really like the atmosphere. It's very family oriented. It's not a corporate setting, so it's very intimate.
So what is Chef Chin's goal with the menu at the Grand Union restaurant?
Well, my focus is mainly just to meet with local producers, farmers, and get to know the area. There's a lot of great wild game out here, duck, elk, and venison, buffalo, bison. So I really want to incorporate what is solely found out here and just incorporate things I've learned in my travels into it.
Tonight, my husband and I settle into the high metal ceiling space grounded with red floral carpet and windows draped with long, elegant curtains. The Missouri River flows by as we take in our meal at the Union Grill restaurant. I start tonight's meal with one of the small plates and shareables, the prosciutto. It arrives at the table with sliced prosciutto topped with cabernet, gelée, slivers of Parmesan, smoked salt, and cracked black pepper. Fig jam is placed on the side along with a small mound of fresh greens tossed with oil and vinegar.
I did an elk carpaccio for a while, and that was a really unique thing in the winter. And a prosciutto it's a very nice, light option for elk. So, you know, some people aren't excited about a raw beef dish, so a prosciutto is a really nice, light, and still elegant option. The cabernet jelly, the fig jam, those are just incorporations of my pastry background to kind of give it a neat flair.
His neat flair also shows in the cornmeal-crusted walleye with Parmesan risotto and citrus miso glaze.
So the walleye, we have a lot of local farmers, and goal this year is to really reach out to them, bring them in, and utilize what they grow here in Montana. We have a corn grower, and we got some different types of dried corn. So we actually have a little corn mill in the kitchen, so we grind up blue corn, and we crust our walleye with that.
For the summer, to end the meal, Chef Chin will be offering something reminiscent of campfires and the great outdoors.
We like to do some type of a s'mores dish in the summertime. It's just very nice. So I have a s'mores cake that I do. It's got graham cracker cake, so it's like a graham cracker sponge. And it has a chocolate anglaise, which is almost like a filling, but it sets up very nicely, so it's very rich and decadent. And then it'll be topped with a nice marshmallow filling, and then we'll caramelize it.
The Grand Union Hotel and the Union Grill Restaurant, along with Missouri River Outfitters, will continue to make welcoming and delicious memories for those who visit. I know they have for me. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky has been provided by Parker Brown. Always, thank you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.